As we come this morning to this 40th chapter of the prophecy of Isaiah, we must consider the background, like all scripture in which it is set. There is a considerable interval of time between the preceding chapter, that of 39, and this passage which we have just read. The Jews are now nearing the end of their long and bitter sufferings. Their fiery trials have done their work. And so the word of the Lord comes again to the prophet Isaiah with the beautiful words of verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. And friends, as we come to God's word this morning, we find in it comfort. Comfort, because it shows how our sins can be forgiven. And believers, it brings great comfort to us to know that our sins are forgiven. Look to the wounds of Jesus, brother, said Staupitz to Luther. At the foot of the cross alone can sinners and saints be comforted. We need not only the assurance of sins forgiven, but some knowledge of the way in which it has been obtained, the grounds on which our forgiveness is based. Our hearts are never truly comforted till we learn that God is faithful and just when he forgives us our sins. There is comfort because God is on his way to deliver. Be of good cheer, the prophet says. Your God shall come with strong hand. See, the mountains become a way. The crooked is made straight and the rough places smooth. The glorious Lord comes to deliver the afflicted from a strong oppressor. And all flesh shall see it together. Comfort, because the strong deliverer has a tender and a compassionate heart. He comes as a mighty one, but he feeds his flock like a shepherd, and he gathers them together in his arms. Strong and sweet, mighty and merciful, the everlasting Father, but the Prince of Peace. The one who sustains the universe and controls it, but cares for us, his children. There is comfort because he faints not, neither is he weary. Oh, friend, this morning, how great that truth. Others may tire after a while. Physical strength drops and declines no matter how well we do. Our greatest efforts will soon fade. Time may seem long. Those of our family and friends in difficult times may seem out of reach. But thou remainest. The creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not, neither is weary. This morning, as we come to this passage before us, I would like to consider particularly the verses 28 through 31. And I would like to consider this morning simply comfort for the despondent believer. Comfort for the despondent believer. Oh, friends, I'm sure you can all agree there are times when, as believers, we need encouragement. We can all lose sight of the path before us, and perhaps to a greater degree than others, the times flood in upon us, the hard times and the trials. And we can all look back to times of trials that, oh well, we got through them all right, and then there were those really difficult times. But we can look back to those times when the Lord helped us and brought us through. When we were cast down or despondent, the God of all comfort came alongside. But I want us to notice firstly that we often forget the goodness of the Lord to us in those difficult times. And so I want to see that we have here a timely reminder. A timely reminder. We read there at the beginning of verse 28, hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Oh yes, we all need reminded. It may be of a past event that is long forgotten, or maybe it is of something that has slipped our mind. Maybe, men, it would be something simple that we need reminded of. I know in my case, it could be a text message from a wife to remind me to pick the children up from school or to get something from the shop, because she knows that when I go out, I could get waylaid and I could come back with anything or without a child. And so, folks, we need reminded in our daily lives as we go about our ordinary everyday business. Do we not? Maybe, perhaps, get these wee post-it notes and we stick them in our Bibles to remind us of a passage of Scripture that we have read that we want to look back upon. Maybe in work or the office or the study or wherever it may be, we'll write down wee notes in a diary or a notebook. We need reminded of things because how easily we forget. In our passage, the prophet twice asked the rhetorical question, first in verse 21 and then again in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? As if the children of God needed reminded again of the works of the Lord, of his blessings upon them, of his goodness towards them. Well, dear friend, this morning, do we need reminded again of the Lord's goodness, of his graciousness, of his love, of his tender mercy? Well, we may not have forgotten, but even as we are reminded, it comes with freshness to our souls, and it brings joy to a longing heart. But what did they need reminded of? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. This people knew that God was the Creator. But sad to say, practically, many lived as atheists. Friends, how easy it is to believe in the infinite power of God, and yet, at the same time, we often live as if he is unable to meet our own personal needs. Are we not reminded often to cast our care upon the Lord, for he careth for us? And yet time and time again we find ourselves facing situations and perhaps starting off on our own strength. And we get to a point and we say, I can't do this. And then God's word comes afresh again to us. Believer, it doesn't matter how long we are on the journey. We need reminded. We need reminded. Was this not why Peter encourages the believers to humble themselves and cast their care upon the Lord, for he careth for us? They needed reminded, as do we, that God is eternal. He is from everlasting to everlasting. In the beginning, God created. And we cannot fathom the eternity of God. And no matter how many times we are reminded of it, yet, to a degree, a large degree, it still goes out over our heads. The psalmist writes, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Peter, in his second epistle, exhorts the believers to be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Oh, the people needed reminded that God was eternal and everlasting. But they also needed reminded that God was unchangeable. He is who is from everlasting to everlasting is unchangeably the same. And he still is, friends. The Lord does not change. He is the Lord alone, whose name is Jehovah. He is the self-existent, all-comprehending one. James speaks of the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow nor turning. Has God changed? He delivered and saved in the past. Friends, will he now forsake his own? We called out and he heard our cry. When we came to him in faith and repentance, when we called out for salvation, will his ear now be closed? Friend, we change. We are up and down like spiritual yo-yos in our pilgrimage. But praise God, he changes not. I am the Lord, I change not. They needed reminded that God was sovereign. The creator of the ends of the earth, he fainteth not, neither is weary. The God of the world, the one who spoke it into being and upholds it and governs it and judges it righteously. He knows and will take care of his own. And because he is unchangeable, his sovereignty will not and cannot change, my friend. He rules over all creation and all the affairs of men. And your affairs and my affairs. With the same power and energy as he did in the day when he created all things and walked in the garden with Adam. We go tired and weary of our labours. Praise God, he does not grow tired, nor does he weary. In verse 23 of the passage we've read, we see the Lord's rule over sinful man. He never wearies of bringing the works to naught or punishing sinful rebellion. And yet, in verse 11, Isaiah describes the dealings of the Lord with his people. Oh, how different it is. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd, and gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those that are with young. Friends, the Lord is our shepherd, and we are his flock. As sheep, we are prone to wander. We are prone to forget. And yet he never wearies of gathering us back to himself and gently leading us on with tender care. Oh, who can fathom the mind of the Lord? We have seen a timely reminder, but let us also note that there is a powerful renewing. In verse 29, we read, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. And in verse 31, we read that the Lord renews our strength. Oh yes, we all grow weak. We all tire, and we often faint. But there is hope for each believer when the going gets tough. And this morning, my friend, if you're going through a difficult time, then there is hope for you. There is a refuge that you can run to. There is one who you can turn to. If we're all being honest, I don't think anyone here this morning would say that they are always on the mountaintop, spiritually, every hour of every day. In our passage, the illustration is used of the young, those with energy and zeal, those who thought themselves strong and yet find themselves weak. The verse in the original speaks of those who are involved in the most vigorous and manly work or exercise. They will be worn down by fatigue or paralyzed by sickness or death. We picture a father trying to keep up with a young child as it runs about the garden. Many of us have experienced this over the last number of months, with children constantly in the house and looking entertained. And after a while, the father starts to run out of energy. And you look at the child and you say, where does he get that from? And you weary, don't you? You can't keep up any longer. Oh, many of us can look back to perhaps our teenage days, working all the hours under the sun, and still able to run about with our friends at the weekends and youth rallies all over the country on the Lord's Day night. Now, one late night with friends round in the house leaves us exhausted the following day. Oh, we all grow weary. We all grow faint. And we use the well-worn phrase, I'm not as young as I used to be. But here in verse 29 and 30, they're set in the stark contrast with that of verse 28. Oh, the Lord is unchangeable and all-powerful, and he will not faint, nor will he grow weary. Man is changeable and powerless. He faints and he wearies in all areas of life. But the power of God is unexhausted and inexhaustible. Man becomes exhausted and helpless. But there is a promise here from the Lord, the promise of power and of strength. And notice who God gives this power to the weak, to those that have no might, he increases strength. Not to the proud and the confident. Those who glory in their own wisdom and strength will receive no strength from God. But friends, to those who are weak, do you feel weak this morning? Do you feel powerless? Do you feel strengthlessness? Oh, turn to the Lord. He will renew our strength. When we faint, when the going gets tough, when life presses upon us, when we get tired, when the trials come our way, it is not because of the lack of power of God, but it is because our lack of faith. His understanding is infinite, and he is working out his own counsels for blessings upon those who love him. He permits affliction to fall upon us and to oppress us. And in our weakness, he shows and gives his strength. We must learn the lesson put before Job, that man cannot fathom God's plans. Our text says in verse 28, there is no searching of his understanding. We should submit to his providential dealings. It is easy when distress or suffering becomes prolonged to think that God has forgotten or is indifferent to what we're going through. But he knows all about us. And he is concerned with his own. And in his time, he will give deliverance. But friend, until then, his grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient if we'll only turn to him. And he will strengthen our souls so that we may endure and see him who is invisible. It was this giving of power to the faint that enabled Paul to glory in his infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon him. And he will supply the renewing strength to meet every need and every trial that he permits you and I to face. I also want us to notice finally that there is a patience required. Patience required. Verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Mere natural and physical strength will not avail in the hour when one is called upon to face some great mental or spiritual trial. When we need that renewing of strength, when we grow weary of life, we may ask the question, well, how do I access this strength? The answer is clearly given. They that wait upon the Lord. When out of Christ and without hope, the Lord waited patiently on us. The Holy Spirit tenderly and lovingly strove with us and drew us to himself. And now we are to wait upon him. This waiting is simply by trusting in the finished work of Christ and claiming the merits of his work upon Calvary's cross, the shedding of his precious blood for all who call upon his name for salvation. Every blessing that the believer enjoys is a result of that finished work of our Saviour upon Calvary. Every blessing, everything that we have is because of Christ and his love for you and I, believer. His life of humiliation, his perfect obedience, his atoning death, his glorious resurrection and ascension. Because he paid the price in full for your sins and my sins by his perfect obedience to the demands of the law, He is seated at the Father's side, and there he makes intercession for us. That is, he represents us as his great high priest and presents us spotless before the Father. And so our prayer is brought before the one who renews our strength through the work of the Holy Spirit. But the idea behind waiting on the Lord is not a passive sitting around until the Lord does something. Oh, how many folk are like that? Oh, we'll just sit around until we gain the answer we want. No. It does not mean that we sit around carelessly and wait for the Lord and expect the Lord to pour out his blessings upon us. We are to seek him. We are to rely on him instead of our own strength. If we are weak, it is because we are not waiting on the Lord as we ought. And friend, that is why it is so important day by day to spend time with the Lord. To wait upon the Lord as we read his word. To wait upon the Lord in that quiet place of prayer. And there we will have our strength renewed. I want us to notice that we are told that we will renew our strength. When we first came to the Lord in weakness, repenting of our sin, we received strength. Renewed is from the basic meaning to change or to put on afresh. Here it is to keep putting on fresh strength. Many people today sadly claim to follow Christ, but they live in what they call so-called liberty. They do not make him Lord of their lives. They live as they feel. They do not want to wait on him. They do not want to meditate upon his word. Rather, they want to live as they please and expect the Lord to, as it were, pull them out of a hole when things go wrong. But we must wait upon the Lord. Not because he is ignorant to our calling, but rather because his time is perfect. And the result of patient waiting will be evident. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. It is only when we have learned to bring everything to God and to wait patiently upon him that we will be given the strength needed to arise above our circumstances. We will be enabled to rise heavenward as the eagles facing the sun and be closer drawn to him. We will run a race with patience, enduring to the end. We will walk with God with renewed confidence and courage, knowing that we are the objects of his love and care. And as we wait upon him, we are changed into his glorious likeness. We are delivered from worry and fretfulness, knowing that God is never late, but that in his own time he will give the needed help. Believer, this morning as we come to a close, let us not forget that God has not changed. His word is sure. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Let us remember that he still rules over all things, for he is the everlasting God. He has not grown weary of our answering our prayers, but his timing is perfect. And he has promised to renew our strength when we do grow weary. But we must be faithful and wait upon him. Friends, let us trust in the finished work of Christ our Redeemer and Lord. Let us remember what it cost our Saviour to purchase our salvation. And then let us repeat the words at the end of verse 9 with praise. Lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Amen.